It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We learn about how imposing a new sales tax may influence supply and demand as Milwaukee's Common Council and Mayor approve a 2% sales tax to avoid cuts to city services. Call in with a question or a comment, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Richard Ochsner is a senior policy associate in the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center. Work focuses on state and local tax policy, budgets, and other finance issues. Richard, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you so much for having me on.
Good morning. So Milwaukee leaders approved this 2% sales tax increase. Despite concerns, it would hurt local businesses or disproportionately affect low-income residents. Should Milwaukee businesses or residents be concerned about this new tax?
So both of those things have truth to them, but you should also take a step back and think through how these are going to affect people in their day-to-day lives. So let's tackle the business side of this first. Most research shows that consumers generally are not affected by local sales taxes. I know this is new in Milwaukee and there's a huge debate about it, but this is not uncommon. 38 states have local sales taxes. Some of them are quite high across the country. But we find that in general, consumers don't change their behavior too much. And if you think about the cost of the tax, that'll make sense. For example, if you had to run outside tomorrow and buy $100 worth of school supplies or clothing or brewer's gear, you know, you would be paying $2 on that $100 purchase. And is $2 enough to get you to drive outside of the city limits to avoid the tax? Probably not. If it's like a $20 purchase, we're talking only 40 cents. The one place where this does become an issue for consumers and therefore businesses are with high value purchases. Because again, if you're going to spend upwards of $2,000, now it's $40. If it's $20,000, now it's $400. Those are the types of purchases that could give consumers a reason to leave the city and buy something somewhere else.
That extra mileage, that extra gas might be cost effective in that terms. The new tax will only apply to businesses within the city limits. And then we also have Milwaukee County, which is contemplating hiking its sales tax from 0.5% to 0.9%. Along those lines, when you layer on new taxes, are people more likely to change their ways?
So again, we don't really see this in these day-to-day transactions. And, you know, we are talking about, you know, moving to what, it will, as you said, this is correctly for the consumer, it's going to be roughly a 7.5% tax rate. And that is definitely higher. And I don't want to in any way underplay the burden that puts on residents and especially lower income residents. And we'll get back to that in seconds. But again, it's not uncommon. If you look at even neighboring states, you know, when you tally up their combined rates, I think you get rates as high as 7% in Iowa, 7.3% in Minnesota, 6% in Michigan, and close to as high as, I think, 11% in Illinois. This does not, again, tend to have a huge effect on consumer behavior, but it absolutely does create a burden for residents and specifically low-income residents. Everyone pays the same tax rate. Everyone pays 7.5% when they go to purchase something. But if you think of someone who earns, you know, $100,000 or even $1 million, they're going to save a lot of their income. They're not going to spend it all. But if you think of someone earning $20,000, $10,000 or less than that, they're going to be spending nearly all of their money on consumption because they have to. And that is why the sales tax is regressive, because a lower income household is spending nearly every dollar they earn. That is getting taxed. And so the tax is a larger share of their income than for a higher income person.
There's been some sentiment from the city officials saying, look, we need to talk with our constituents who are low income before we take additional steps here. What about having those conversations? What might come up?
Oh, that's tough. I think the challenge for any government when they're trying to raise a tax is communicating the other side of this. Because we raise revenue to pay for services. And so it's important for the city of Milwaukee to explain why this revenue is needed. Because oftentimes while, you know, tax increases, or specifically a sales tax increase, could place a burden on lower income households, they're often the ones that benefit from the city and county services, and therefore would also be harmed if the tax increase did not go into effect and spending had to be cut. And so there needs to be an honest and transparent conversation about why the decision was made, the trade-offs, and hopefully why the, you know, residents are also benefiting from what this money is doing for them.
We're talking about possible impacts of Milwaukee's new 2% sales tax with Richard Oxshire, who is a senior policy associate in the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center. You can join in with your questions and your comments about taxation. The number to join in is 800-642-1234. Richard, most of the revenue from a city of Milwaukee sales tax, it has to be spent on the city employee pensions and then also the remainder on police and fire jobs. Does a tax purpose, especially if it's for very specific things, does that have any bearing on consumers?
On consumers, I'm not so sure, but it does help politicians to explain clearly who this is going to. And something to always keep in mind when we talk about, you know, I think sometimes you think like, you know, government spending and you have this vague idea that it's just going somewhere or going to things. State and local spending is almost always for people. You mentioned like police and firefighters. A lot of Milwaukee's money goes to paying for police officers, goes to paying for firefighters and paying for the pensions that help bring in talented public servants who want to work in the area and serve the community. You'll often see politicians explicitly link, you know, one tax to a spending category that has its pros and cons. But for like a city like Milwaukee, it does limited things. For example, I don't believe it spends on education necessarily. So that makes it very easy to say where this money is going, why the money is needed, and why we're going to put it to good use.
Would there be specific types of retail stores in Milwaukee that would be more likely to feel the sting from this new tax?
So businesses, you'll be shocked to learn, do not like tax increases, and will generally object to them. That said, in prior experience, if you're a corner store, if you're, you know, a clothing retailer, again, if you're selling things or day-to-day products, adding a 2% sales tax is probably not going to make the difference between what people are buying and what they're not. It's going to be those high-end retailers who are selling really, really expensive products, because if you're spending thousands of dollars, now the tax becomes an equation. However, there is an inverse here, because we're talking about people who are in Milwaukee who are leaving possibly for the tax. But keep in mind, a lot of people travel to Milwaukee to go out at night, to go shopping.
See a Bucks
And
game.
yes, exactly. And you come into the city and you spend money. And something, you know, and tax nerds call it tax exporting. Because what when you use a sales tax, it allows you to place some of your burden onto non-residents who visit the city. If you contrast that with Milwaukee's current main revenue source, property tax, that's entirely paid by residents. So one advantage of the sales tax is all the people who come into Milwaukee and use its services and benefit from everything it has to do, its vibrancy, its fun, they will now be contributing to the city's tax revenue.
Senior Policy Associate at the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center, Richard Oxshire, with us examining the local effects of sales tax increases. And you can be part of the conversation about taxation. Call in with a question, share your comment at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We dig into the business and consumer implications as Milwaukee approves a 2% sales tax to avoid bankruptcy. And Richard Oxshire is here, senior policy associate at the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center. You can be part of the conversation, your thoughts. The number to ask a question or share your perspective is 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Nancy in Milwaukee. Hi, Nancy. What would you like to share?
I'd like to say that I am very angry. I live here in the city of Milwaukee, and at one time, all city elected officials and all city employees had to live within the city limits. That law was changed about 6 or 7 years ago, and when it was changed, many city employees and many city elected officials moved out of the city, and I'd like that law put back into effect again, because when I pay my property taxes here in the city, my property taxes are going to pay the pensions of my councilmen, the mayor, and many other elected and officials and many city employees. And I want their tax dollars to be spent here in the city. I don't happen to know where my city councilman lives, but if he by chance lives out in Brookfield or up in Grafton, that means that when he puts gas in his car or gets a haircut and buys groceries and does all of his shopping in Brookfield or Grafton, his tax dollars are going into the pensions of Brookfield elected officials. But my tax dollars are paying the councilman's pension. And I want all of these elected officials and city employees to be forced to move back into the city.
Nancy, thank you for sharing your sentiment. Richard, what do you make of it?
I think Nancy is a good example of what happens when you ask for a tax increase, is that you better be prepared to explain where it's going and why you're doing it. And so, you know, it's not uncommon for residents to want their city officials to live in the city. And as I said, most state and local spending is for officials, including firefighters and police officers, but as well as government officials. They're going to want to see results from that tax increase and see that their tax dollars are being spent the way they want them to be spent.
The IRS and many economists consider sales taxes to be regressive. You mentioned it earlier. Why are sales taxes regressive?
Right. Now, again, regressive is a fancy term that basically says lower income people pay a higher burden than high income people. Now, this can get confusing, but just to be clear, everyone pays the same sales tax rate. So no matter, you know, how much money you're spending, we all pay the same percentage. So that's equal. And in fact, high income residents are typically going to spend more money than low income residents. So in total, they will spend more. Mm. But it's regressive, again, because it's a larger share. It's a larger share of their income. And this, again, speaks to low-income residents have to spend all their income. They can't save it. They got to go out and purchase clothing and food and rent, all these kind of things. And so because a larger share of their income goes towards spending, a larger share of their income goes toward the sales tax than for a higher-income person. So it places a bigger burden on them.
Let's bring in Jeff in Delafield. Jeff, hi, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I just wanted to say I think this is a terrible blow to the retailers in the city of Milwaukee. And just as an example, I'm looking at buying a professional camera, a very expensive multi-$1,000 camera and equipment. And the retailer I wanted to use is in Milwaukee, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go to the Fox Valley or elsewhere. And that's just one example of how people that have the choice are, they're forced to go elsewhere because that's a major chunk of money on a large purchase like that. And that's just an example of how devastating this is going to be to the retailers in the city of Milwaukee. And that's my comment. Thank you.
Jeff, thank you. Richard, case in point to what you said.
Right. And again, I think it's important that Jeff was talking about making a high cost purchase. You are going to see consumers think about this when they do this. And I think, you know, if you talk to politicians, maybe talk to them off the record, they would explain, or even on record, you know, what they'd really like to do is make sure increase rates everywhere so you wouldn't have these disparities. But that's just, it happens because different cities and different localities, little different governments have different spending needs. So they need different amounts of tax revenue. So they have to increase taxes at different levels. A big thing that would help is if the state government played a role and helped out and smoothed things out. But again, there's always these trade-offs between levels of government and what they need to do. And so this is why this is not uncommon to see what is happening in Milwaukee and other governments across the country.
What do you mean by that? How could state government smooth things out?
So just generally speaking, the more the state transfers to local governments, the less they need to raise their own revenue. Now, to be perfectly clear, Wisconsin, the state, gives a lot of money to the city of Milwaukee. I think they account for roughly, you know, a third to almost half, depending on the year, of its revenue. So they're already contributing a, you know, a good chunk of that money. But the more the state can do, because the state's bigger, the more that tax burden is spread across, and you don't see these kind of like cliffs where in one place it's, you know, a very low or no tax, in one place it's a high tax, that would create that consumer choice.
How much do sales tax holidays, which we often see with the start of the school year, how do they benefit low-income families or not?
So, okay, if you asked a politician, they would say that this is the best thing you could possibly do, and it helps everyone out, and it's great. But you were talking to a tax nerd, and as a tax nerd, I must tell you that they don't really benefit consumers. That is because businesses know the tax holiday is coming. And so a business could, for example, just tweak its prices just a little bit to capture all the benefit. And again, we're talking in Milwaukee, you know, it's a 2% tax. And even like, you know, if you, the combined rate is closer to 7%. And so like, would you know if the business was changing its prices by just a couple of dollars? You know, you notice it when it's on your receipt. Would you notice it when you're shopping in advance? So typically we also just get shifts in spending. So let's say that there is a big saving opportunity for consumers. Well, the type of consumers that will benefit are high income residents who can say, you know what, I don't need to spend money now. I'm going to wait to spend money when we have that holiday. Your low income residents typically can't make that delay. They need to buy things again to keep up their home. And so they're not going to benefit. So sales tax holidays, if you can't notice, I'm not really a big fan.
Not a fan.
Not a fan. Not great for consumers. And if they're good for anyone, they're good for high-income consumers, not low-income consumers.
We have a self-proclaimed tax nerd, Richard Oxshire, Senior Policy Associate in the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center. Let's go to Charlotte in Milwaukee. Charlotte, hi.
Hello. Hello. Oh, my gosh. I have several things now. But I just want to say, I don't know. I know when we use the dump, and we don't live in Milwaukee, we have to pay. You know what I mean? When we go to Milwaukee to the zoo, and you don't live in Milwaukee, you have to pay. Is there any way that if we use the Bucks or the Brewers or the hockey or anything like that, do we pay more? You know what I mean? If we're not living in Milwaukee?
Capturing some of these fees and services from people who live outside Milwaukee using them. Richard, your insights?
So specifically on sports, occasionally you will see special sales taxes tied to like sports teams to capture that activity. You wouldn't do it with a sales tax because, again, the benefit of sales tax is that it's the same. It's simple. You want to make it as broad as possible to try and tamp down some of this consumer choice and you know, decision making. However, you could do this by, for example, levying higher taxes on, say, hotel rentals, because that's going to be people coming from outside. Restaurants, that's both residents, but a lot of non-residents going to come in. Parking, that's going to be both, but again, mostly getting a lot of people from outside. The downs, you know, the upside of that is you're capturing a lot of money from non-residents. The downside is you're possibly, again, putting pressure on those businesses. And these are the businesses that just struggled through COVID. And so you have to kind of weigh, well, we want to get money from non-residents, but we also want to make sure that these businesses are thriving and creating the type of communities that we want.
You've seen those headlines that these sales taxes are supposed to avert a fiscal cliff, avert a bankruptcy. What types of tax reform could Wisconsin enact to help Milwaukee get its finances in order?
Oh, that is a really tough question that I don't know I can answer quickly. I will say that something the state could do, the state of Wisconsin, is the state could look into expanding its refundable tax credits. We talked about the sales tax as regressive and it puts a lower burden, but it's also a really good revenue generator. That's why it makes sense for Milwaukee. What the state could do is, you know, increase and expand its refundable earned income tax credit, which goes to low-income workers, or say create a refundable child tax credit, which goes to families with children, because those benefits would be targeted at low-income residents. Milwaukee can't pass out hand tax cuts. They need the tax revenue. But maybe the state can. The state, in fact, is in the process of cutting taxes. And if it targets those tax cuts at low-income families, that is how you could offset some of the new burden that's been placed on your lower-income residents in Milwaukee.
Well, Richard, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Kate. It's a pleasure.
Richard Oxer is a senior policy associate in the Urbans Brookings Tax Policy Center. And if you would like to peruse our other segments, you can go to our website, WPR.org/morning. Check out our program page to find conversations from the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.